Welcome to The Perspectivalist. Our agenda is to offer a perspective of the world that allows you to think more clearly as a Christian. We want the normativity of scriptures to be the starting point of everything we do. Thanks for joining the conversation. This is Season 5, Episode 4, and I am your host, Yuri Brito. So here we are. Welcome to Easter's. And it's good to be able to offer a monologue for a change. I trust your Eastertide is going splendidly. I say Eastertide because Easter is in no way over. In fact, Easter has just begun. The joy of Easter carries all the way to May 19th of 2024, where we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, which means we still have over 5 weeks to go. It's far from over, and there is much more rejoicing to do the next 40 days. The difficulty, I think, for many of us is how to keep the Easter enthusiasm for such a lengthy period. The reason many evangelicals are ready to get to the next thing is that I think they lack a sense of liturgical rhythm. Lent took us through a 40-day journey, but Easter takes us through a 50-day journey. And these liturgical journeys require a certain level of preparation. That's why Easter is a superior season to Lent in the length of days, but it's also superior in the quality of the environment. Because whereas Lent prepares us for a journey towards Calvary, Easter takes us through a victory march. Through Easter, we are reminded to put away our sadness and to embrace the heavenly sounds that go to the ends of the earth. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. On Eastertide, the devil trembles, the enemies fear, the forces of evil shake, and the sound of sin is silence when death is defeated. Now, this doesn't mean, of course, that we only celebrate in Eastertide that he's risen from the dead. No, of course, we celebrate throughout all seasons and all our lives. But the Eastertide gives us a lengthy period to celebrate, to remember the promises that Jesus made, which are yes and amen, in the resurrection of Jesus, that all things are fulfilled in this messianic man who came and became now the risen man, the true man. Now, what does this all mean? Well, it means that throughout this Eastertide, we must be busy in the business of celebrating. And for moms and dads, I think this is especially important as we train our children in the liturgical calendar, because we have a lot to preserve and we have a lot of enthusiasm to see permeated through the season of jubilance here. So what I want to do is have a very practical podcast. I want to offer 10 ways we can keep Easter very much fresh in these remaining 40 days left. We are already in the second Sunday and second week of Easter, so we have plenty of time. So don't give up if you're just coming to these for the first time. There are still 40 days to practice them. There are still several Sundays to go before the end of Easter. So if this is new to you, maybe you wish to implement one thing or another from this list, but I would encourage you to take this list seriously and begin to implement a few things, maybe in fragments, so that you establish the categories and the agenda for next Eastertide to come in 2025. So here we go. 10 ways to keep Easter this Easter season. First, we need to begin investing time at our dinner tables by reading the resurrection narratives before each meal. The resurrection of Jesus appears, of course, in Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20, 21. And these narratives are going to remind us and our children of the details of that glorious event in history. It's difficult to understand the Eastertide if you don't know the story of Easter. And after these readings for a couple of weeks, I'd encourage you to read through 1 Corinthians 15, which focuses on the centrality of the resurrection, the gospel proclamation, and the promise of our future resurrection bodies. Without the resurrection of Jesus in the middle of history, we won't understand the many resurrections that came before, and we won't understand the final resurrection from the dead that'll come in the second parousia. Second, begin each morning with the Easter greeting. He is risen, and the people will respond, "He is risen indeed." It is absolutely adorable when I get videos from families that will record this and send it to me to see their little 2-year-old saying, "He is risen indeed." The Bible is very responsorial. I've used the language dialogical. And what I mean by that is that God's people are in constant conversation with him. And there's something glorious about the Hebrew scriptures that demand a certain level of response from the people. And that model is also continued in the New Covenant, especially as you come to the book of Revelation. You see the martyrs responding, "How long, O Lord?" You see the elders speaking before the throne and chanting before the throne, the cherubim, the angelic beings. And God responds in a way of comforting them. This time will come. The time of justice will come. Well, Easter continues this responsorial world. We need to keep the rhythm of Easter fresh and vibrant in the home by maybe opening the day and even closing the day of the liturgic response, because people are embedded in a culture when that culture possesses a level of back and forthness or a level of dialogue that occurs. And in the best way to do this, of course, is to embed a established form of dialogue and in the responses of the people. Because what that does is it allows people to memorize their language, to memorize the way they ought to live and move and have their being in God. So I strongly encourage this. And I know your children are going to enjoy it, and they may even encourage other people to do it as well. All right, third, keep fresh flowers in the home. I know moms will love to hear this, and some of you mothers listen to the Perspectivalists probably do this on a regular basis. Fresh flowers remind us of Jesus' rebirth when he was vindicated in the third day. It reminds us also of the, quote, mistaken identity of Jesus as the gardener. Of course, it wasn't a mistake. The reason Mary referred to Jesus as the gardener, because Jesus was the second true Adam, the one who actually kept the garden as he should have. Flowers keeps newness exhibited around the house, and it keeps life displayed in colors and smells. Yes, the seasons of the church ought to have colors and smells, and Easter ought to have the smell of freshness, the smell of life. Fourth, and I know I have said this so in so many previous podcasts, but let me encourage you to add Easter hymns to the daily repertoire of family songs. And I think of a couple of them. Christ the Lord is Risen Today, which you have probably heard through your childhood if you grew up in the church. And one that I would add to your repertoire is Luther's Christ Jesus Lay in Death Strong Bands, which is a lovely piece of theology that Luther composed because of his very rich resurrection theology as well. Anyway, add the musicality of Easter to your home. And in addition to the responses of Easter to your home, I think you have a fairly strong way of celebrating Easter and continuing that tide through the next 40 days and in the years to come. Now, of course, none of this would make much sense if, number five, you don't invite friends over. And I have encouraged the practice of inviting people over any day of the week, of course, but especially on Sundays and whenever possible for a meal. And this is what you do in that meal. When you invite people over, you buy a champagne bottle. And a lot of this, of course, requires a certain level of preparation. In our family, we buy several bottles of champagne before Easter so we can have them lined up and ready for the seven Sundays of Easter. You buy a champagne bottle, gather everyone around, get their attention. And the sound of a champagne bottle is one of the most sublime experiences of newness in our culture, that pop, that new life being now given as the champagne bottle is opened so that we can have the smell and see the bubbles. And when you open it, as soon as you open it and it pops, you say, "Christ is risen." And then you encourage everyone to respond, "He is risen indeed. Hallelujah." I guarantee you, it's a spectacular event. We've done it for many, many years. And every time we have people over, they are almost always eager to take that practice back to their homes as well. Number six, use daily prayers to thank God for raising his son from the dead. And you can find a lot of these Easter prayers online. You can buy the Book of Common Prayer, the Book of Common Worship. There are Lutheran prayer books. And the one we have used in the past that can be used by the family each day is one from the BCP, I believe. "Grant, we beseech thee, O Almighty God, that we who have observed the Paschal mystery may by thy favor manifests its power by lives of virtues through Christ our Lord. Amen. Bring Easter prayers into the mix as well. Seventh, this may seem too obvious, but it isn't really, and that is practice joy. We need the art of preparation, and we need to practice things that are virtuous in our world. Don't allow the season, especially during the Eastertide, to be characterized by gloominess. Teach your children and one another that Christians cannot be characterized by sadness. So if you see gloomy children coming around the house, and if you see your children not manifesting any joy throughout the day, or as they greet one another, there are no smiles, remind them of the abundant life that was given to them through the death and resurrection of Messiah Jesus. Practice joy. Practice in ways that will place you in places where you're able to manifest that Easter dogma of the Christ is risen, he is risen indeed world. We live in a resurrected world where gloominess does not have the last face, nor does it have the last word. Eighth, practice mercy. Seek opportunities to give and to serve in this season. Consider, as you look around your church, your community, if there are families there that could benefit from a meal, a gift card, or if you have a daughter, maybe they could benefit from babysitting. That way the parents can go out on a date or something of that nature. But practice mercy by seeking opportunities to show mercy. Easter is a victory through acts of mercy. That's what Easter is. The resurrection of Jesus is the mercy of God for lost sinners, and we should be able to practice that mercy in the world. Ninth, think of creative ways to mock evil. Death has been defeated. Satan has been made into a joke. You know, the legend goes that one time Luther was confronted in his prison cell by the devil, and Luther's response was quintessential Luther: "Go away, devil, for I am baptized." I think there is nothing more sublime than mocking the devil with the sign of baptism. Easter is a season to remember that our baptisms into newness of life was Satan's baptism into misery and defeat. He is risen indeed, and that means that Satan's head has been crushed. So remind your children, remind one another that we are baptized, and when we are baptized, Satan does not have power over us. We are under the lordship of a risen king. When you're feeling down or when you're feeling saddened by life circumstances, tell the devil to go away. Tell gloominess to go away, because you are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, at a more theological level, remember that without the resurrection, we are of all people most to be pitied, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. The resurrection is the vindication of the Son of God. But it is also our justification, Romans 4:25. We are not our own. We are made righteous in Jesus Christ. Our life is risen with him, which means we live in resurrection world. We are resurrected saints. The world knows our Lord is risen when they see a resurrected community and a resurrected home displaying the goodness and the laughter of God before the world. We are delivered from death because Christ has conquered death. So let us keep the feast in the remaining days. Let us sing for joy. Christ is risen, and he is risen indeed. Hallelujah. This is the Perspectivalist Podcast, and I'm your host, Yuri Brito, and may the Lord be with you.